Good morning, everyone. We almost had America's Funniest Home Videos moment here, but we stopped it. Didn't catch on fire. So today, as we gather, it's Palm Sunday, and Palm Sunday for the church signals an end to the time of Lent and a transition into what the church has called Holy Week. It's the week before Easter, the week leading up to Christ's death and resurrection. You know, I recognize that this Palm Sunday in specific is a bit different, feels a bit different than perhaps any Palm Sunday that any of us have experienced before. This is new territory for all of us. And yet, we are still gathering this morning with the knowledge and hope that comes from Christ. Normally, our Palm Sundays are filled with marching and singing and waving palm branches and cheering and watching the big smiles on children's faces. This year, however, you're home. We're gathering together through this online medium. You're in front of your computer, and some of us are with family, and others perhaps feel a bit alone in this season. I understand the complexity and the tension of our current situation and season. I feel the fear, the sense of uncertainty, and the chaos of instability. So this is my desire for us this morning and for this Holy Week. I encourage you, let us not approach this time with the same mindset as we have had before. Let us not pretend to be people who are unaware of the resurrection. Let us not pretend for the sake of the season that Jesus is not already alive and well and here with us now. Brothers and sisters, because of Christ, every single day is Easter and an opportunity for Easter celebration. Jesus is alive, so please do not lose hope. To begin our time this morning, I'd like to just say a prayer for us, and then we can jump in. Let's pray together. God of peace, grant us hope. Thank you for your unending love for us. May we discover your love and your heart more fully this morning and in the weeks to come. As your children, we pray this to you. Amen. So I thought I'd start out with a little bit of a confession. It might be an odd one, but I just want to confess that I love cars. And I know that's maybe a weird way to start a Palm Sunday service, but there is a point. You know, I'm sure that over the many years of me being here that you've witnessed the fact that a lot of cars have come in and out of my life. You probably can't even predict what I'm driving when. And you may have noticed that in that process, I have a special affinity for Jeeps. Our family has owned Jeeps for a long time. In fact, it's something that's a part of our family history. Since I grew up just outside of Toledo and actually just kind of south of Detroit, buying a Jeep for us was like buying local, even before buying local was cool. And So it's been something that we've done as a family for many years. But why buy Jeeps? With all of the many great, wonderful vehicles out there, why do we love these strange, gas-thirsty boxes that have the roof come off of them? I suppose for me, it's always been about the ability to drive over and through just about anything. Having grown up as a rural country kid, there was nothing like, you know, driving through the deep mud in a farmer's field. Jeeps are about adventure, and the adventure is even better with the doors off and the top off and the sun beating down on your face. Perhaps it's also the fact that I can disassemble a Jeep with just a couple of tools and reassemble it with just some parts from a catalog. There is a point to this story. The first Jeep I ever owned was this 1979 CJ5. It was actually my dad's first Jeep, and it got passed down to me when I was in high school, and that thing was so cool, although it was very rusty. CJ actually stands for civilian Jeep. You know, the classic Jeep Willys Jeep, the great-grandfather of the modern-day Jeep Wrangler, was created for the military. It was designed for military use, and soldiers loved it so much that when they came home from battle, that they were looking for a version of Jeep for themselves, and so Jeep made the CJ, the civilian Jeep. Now, as a nonviolent Christian environmentalist, I recognize that given the history of the Jeep, it doesn't make a lot of sense for me to own one. Even so, I can come up with many arguments in favor of them. Nonetheless, though, the Jeep is a military symbol. It's a symbol of conquest and power and dominion. The Jeep has, in my opinion, unfortunately kept this identity even to this day. You might say that a Jeep is the modern-day equivalent of the historical war horse during the time of Jesus. You know, in contrast to a Prius, for example, you definitely don't see folks going to war in a Prius. The Prius is not threatening. It's more of a symbol of peace. But it's also not passive in its symbolism because, in my opinion, a Prius promotes justice. Environmental justice. You might say that a Prius is perhaps the modern day equivalent of the historical use of a donkey during the time of Jesus. I realize that I've maybe thought about this way too much, but there is a point. See, the contrast that I'm sharing between a Jeep and a Prius, or more relevant, the contrast between a war horse and a donkey, is essential to us understanding the story that we heard today in Matthew 21. The big question is, why, if Jesus is coming as a king, did he choose a donkey? There's this powerful message that comes from the imagery of Jesus riding a donkey into Jerusalem. As one theologian writes, when a ruler rolls into town, especially the capital city, there's a display of their power. They make a display of the security that people find under their rule. Think of when a United States president comes, the armored motorcade filled with tons of firepower, and itself has a police escort. Snipers line the tops of buildings, and helicopters often fly overhead. While the technology was a bit different, things were basically the same in the first century. When a ruler came to town, he rode a war horse. On his sides and at his back, armed men with spears and swords in plain sight, ready to act if any problems were to show up. See, it was a way to validate their power, to let everyone know who was in charge, but even more than that, it would instill a sense of confidence with the people. Their mighty ruler rode above all others. Of course, their war horse was the largest of all the horses, and with that, the people knew that they could trust in the security of the reign of their king. What we might not realize is during the time of Jesus, and even today, there's parallels that a king's parade is an important thing. It tells us something about the leader it represents. So war horses, black limousines, military-style SUVs, they tell one story. A baby donkey, on the other hand, the historical Prius of King Transportation, tells a much different story. Jesus was coming as a different kind of king with a different kind of rule. Jesus had a vision in mind that was entirely different than a regular king. As he rode into Jerusalem, he wanted the people to recall the words of the prophet Zechariah. Never again will an oppressor overrun my people, for now I am keeping watch. Rejoice greatly, daughter Zion. Shout, daughter Jerusalem. See, your king comes to you, righteous and victorious, lowly and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will take away the chariots from Ephraim and the war horses from Jerusalem, and the battle bow will be broken. He will proclaim peace to the nations. His rule will extend sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will free your prisoners from the waterless pit. Oh, return your fortress, you prisoners of hope. Even now I announce that I will restore twice as much to you. Jesus' rule of peace, justice, humility, love, and mercy. It was a rule shown true, not by a big horse, military-style SUV, but by a donkey, a Prius, an empty tomb. It's a rule in which a baby donkey can stand just as proudly as a war horse, where the weak and the lowly are honored, where the smallest or the least really are the greatest. But don't make the miscalculation that Jesus came to Jerusalem as passive or as weak. He came as a peaceful king, yes, but he also came with the presence and authority of a ruler. Jesus was coming for his throne, and the religious leaders knew it. His actions of riding a donkey had twofold meaning. I come in peace, and I come to bring peace. What the religious leaders didn't understand is that while Jesus was coming for his throne was not in a palace. It was instead a cross, a grave, and resurrection. Jesus is the bravest king that the world has ever seen. He rode into the capital city of Jerusalem, disarmed and on a donkey. He was fully aware of what this would mean for him, what message it would send to the people and the oppressive religious authorities that governed. See, he knew that by modeling the words of Zechariah, his fate would be sealed. He knew that what he was doing was going to cost him his life. And yet, he did it anyway. May you remember this Palm Sunday that we follow a brave king who saved the world. A brave king who was armed with nothing but the love of God and the hope of resurrection. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for being a different kind of king. We thank you for being the kind of king that the world has never seen, one who doesn't choose to come in power and in war and in dominance, but one who chose to come lowly, riding on a donkey in peace. But Jesus, we thank you that you are not just passive. You came to make a statement, to change the world. You knew the throne that you were going to have, the cross that you were going to bear, and the resurrection that you hoped to experience. We thank you that we are your followers and that we have the ability to live and do as you did. Lord, help us to be brave in the ways that you were brave. Help us to remember all that you are and do for us, we pray. Amen. I want to ask you this morning to please stay around until after the music has played, because as many of you know, I made an announcement this week, and I would love to read that for those who haven't heard it. Thank you. Leah?